It is incredible tonight that God is already at work. I think he was at work the minute he got you in your car from wherever you were before this, and he brought you here. And I'm believing that he's at work right now across this room, across our state. We have Clinton and Madison and Starkville joining us, and Oxford, people joining in live with their small groups. I'm just believing that God's working. I can say that confidently because I believe that when we worship, when we get our eyes off of our surroundings, when we get our eyes even off of ourselves, when we put them on God, that things can begin to change in us from the inside out, that we can find spiritual renewal, spiritual refreshment, and that God can begin to work. So what a gift it is to be able to do that as a faith family together tonight. And I'm thankful just for a few minutes to get to talk to you about what it looks like to really surrender ourselves to God as we kick off this month. If we haven't met before, my name is Hannah, and I'm so excited just to get to talk to you tonight. And I know many of you just from your campuses and even around here, I know your stories and how you've been faithful to serving. And then there's some of you we have not met before, and I hope one day we get to. So wherever we are on the spectrum, maybe you're looking at me like, who are you? Or maybe you're on the other side and we are BFFs. Wherever we are on that spectrum, I'm just going to jump straight in tonight. That's my personality. We are going straight in, and I'm going with a personal story from the get. And so I'm just going to go straight in for that. I don't think it's TMI, but it is about my health. So we're starting there. And I hope that as I give you this picture of just something that's happened to me in the physical realm, that you can begin to get a picture of what I believe can happen to you tonight in the spiritual realm. So that's my hope, and that's why I'm telling this story. A couple years ago, I found myself in a little bit of pain, a little bit of back pain. And it was a dull ache. It just kind of bothered me a little bit. And I had never had that kind of pain before. I'm sure there's some of you in the room who've been there with me. And I pushed through it. I referenced earlier my personality. That's another part of it. I just push through things probably more than I should sometimes. And so I did. And as I pushed through, the back pain got a little bit worse. It became less of a dull ache and more just consistent and sharp. So over time, I couldn't ignore it anymore. And I started finally like confessing to friends and family members about my pain. And one by one, they started throwing out that maybe I should go to the chiropractor. And I'm just going to show my cards. Like, I was totally skeptical of the chiropractor. If you are a chiropractor and you are joining in right now, this is no shame on you. It's not you. It's me. All right. But I was a little like skeptical. And sure enough, over time, I began to be in so much pain. You get this. That you start doing some things that you were skeptical of to begin with. So I reached out to the chiropractor. I made an appointment. Before you know it, I'm in his office. And he takes these x-rays and he puts them up on a TV. And he looks at them. I look at them. I have no idea what I'm looking at. He knows exactly what he's looking at. And he kind of looks over at me and he confirms my suspicion that some things in my body were out of alignment. Some things had drifted. And it turns out that causes some pain. And so I was excited. I was like, yes, a diagnosis. Man, give me that quick fix. That's what I was hoping for. It turns out the quick fix was not available and that a process was going to be needed. A process that was going to take a little bit of time. You know, what if I hadn't gone to the chiropractor? Would I have chosen a process? Probably not. I think I would have self-diagnosed myself. I probably would have thought, got a week back, probably need to work out a little bit. I grew up in a home where it was said that water really fixes all your problems. So you grew up in that home too, didn't you? And so I probably would have worked out. I would have for sure hydrated. I would have done those two things. Fast forward a few weeks, and I probably would have been stronger, hydrated, and still in pain. Because we all know that what I needed to alleviate my pain in its entirety, what I needed to experience a full healing wasn't just strength, it was a realignment to the way my body was designed to be. That's what I was gonna need for a full healing. So I want you to hold on just to that physical representation, because once again, I think it can point us to something in the spiritual realm. We find ourselves tonight, John referenced this earlier, at the beginning of February, it's February 1st. And if you've been in the house for a while, you know that means we're kicking off P28. Maybe it's your first time with us for P28, and I'm excited for you. I'm excited for us that we get to be on this journey together. And really, the essence of this month is that we would keep taking steps to becoming a people of prayer. That every day at 1 p.m., we would say there is something we could take to God, one thing, and just ask for him to move in it. I love Chip this past Sunday just put some great framework around this, and it really challenged my thinking. He said, if you could bring just one thing to God and you could have full confidence that he was going to move in it, what would you bring to him? That's probably what your P28 should be. And so I left Sunday, probably like many of you, and I wrestled with God a little bit about that. And we prayed through that and talked about that. And I hope you've been doing that too. And I'm believing that many of you are joining tonight. You're here tonight and you have your one thing. You have your one thing. Your thing may be that you're praying for a breakthrough because you've been carrying a mental illness for a really long time. Maybe it's that you are praying that a relationship's going to be restored in your life, a marriage or a friendship. Maybe it's freedom from a sin that's entangled you for a really long time, or really even just the generations before you, and now it's your turn, is what it feels like. Maybe you're praying for clarity, clarity in a job, clarity in a decision, clarity on if you should move. Maybe it's a physical healing that you're praying for, or something that we've been discussing more as a church in the last year is maybe you're praying for an emotional healing. There's something emotionally that you're asking for God to touch and change in your life. Maybe you're praying less about yourself and more for someone else, that God would add to your family, or that a son or daughter would come home, or maybe you're even praying for someone you know, a brother or a sister, to surrender their life fully to Jesus for the very first time. In short, what you're praying for tonight, what I'm praying for tonight, is for a breakthrough, a breakthrough. And I think that spiritually, we could be kind of where I was physically 2 years ago. Kind of walking in, and like I did the chiropractor, just limping a little bit, kind of in a little bit of pain, and we're looking for that quick fix this month. But what if tonight, as we come before the great physician, there's not a quick fix, but there's a process to enter into. It could be a little bit slower, but it could bring us a little closer to the presence of Jesus. Would you want to enter into it? I know I would, because I don't want a quick fix. I want a complete realignment, and I want a healing. And I think that's what God has for us tonight. In Scripture, there's a word for this idea. There's a word for the idea of coming back into alignment with God and come back in alignment with our design. And that word, you may have heard of it before, is consecration. Consecration. I'm going to be real with you. Consecration is a word that I have heard a lot, and I may have even thrown in a couple sentences to sound smart, but I really had no idea what it was. So, if you are there with me tonight, we're going to let the word of God, not my definition, help us inform consecration. But consecration is going to kind of be the word we're talking about this month. As we start out February, what does it look like to come back into alignment with God? What does it look like to be under the rule and reign of Jesus and his kingdom? Ultimately, that is the question for us tonight. We're going to be looking at two places in Scripture, in Exodus 19 and Joshua 3, where God's people consecrated themselves. There's a few places in Scripture that this is referenced, this idea of consecration, but tonight we're going to look specifically at these two. It's two where God's people were seeking him in two very different areas, but they parallel in some unique ways. In Exodus 19, it's 3 months after leaving Egypt, and God's people find themselves at Mount Sinai, a literal mountain that if you are, I know some people right now are even reading Exodus, and you know this, that it's a literal mountain that Moses is going up to meet with God, and he would meet with God, and then he would turn around and talk to the Israelites, and so we're at that point in the story, and in Exodus 19:5, our promise-keeping God speaks to Moses regarding a covenant that he desired to make to Israel. It says this, "Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice," God's talking here, "and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for the earth is mine." After Moses conveyed this to the people, the Israelites show a desire to make this covenant. And then God reveals to Moses how his power and presence will be made known, not just through Moses, but directly to his people. In verse 10, God says to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today, and tomorrow let them wash their garments. Let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people." Verse 14 shows us that Moses, God-fearing man, did just that. He went back to the people, and Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people. They washed their garments, and he said to them, "Be ready for the third day." After their season of wandering, God's presence is about to be made known among the people. And Moses' job, what he went down to do, was to consecrate them, to prepare them, to purify them, so that they could sit in the presence of God in expectation, knowing he was about to move. So that's what we see in Exodus. But then we fast forward a little bit into Joshua, and we're going to see something parallel, a story that parallels. This is later in Joshua, and we're seeing just that these Israelites are no longer wandering. They're actually about to be on the brink of the promise that God has for them. So Joshua, the new leader that Moses has passed the baton to, sent spies into Jericho knowing they were on the edge of the promised land. The spies return to him and they declare, "Surely the Lord has given all the land into our hands." So the day before the Israelites are to cross the Jordan and enter into the promised land, Joshua gives a similar commandment to the one that Moses had given in Exodus. Joshua 3:5 says that Joshua said to the people this. It's going to sound very familiar to Exodus. "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." They prepared themselves for his presence. His power was released. In fact, it was not too long after that that the walls of Jericho fell. God's people practiced consecration both in the wilderness when they were seeking his direction and on the brink of God's promises being fulfilled as they walked into the promised land. In both of these stories, God's people did this in a physical manner to purify and align their hearts to him. Where they confessed their drift and dedicated themselves wholly, surrendered to him, they were able to experience his presence and his power. Tonight, in both of these examples, what we see is how God's people came to him, purified themselves, and he moved. But the same God they consecrated themselves to in the Old Testament and that moved on their behalf is the same God that you and I have the opportunity to come to tonight. The difference is we now have the grace of Jesus to come before him. So when we consecrate ourselves, we're not doing it in a physical manner. We're doing it in a spiritual manner of realigning ourselves to Jesus Christ. Because by his grace, we can be in him. We can be in him. I can say that confidently because it's in scripture. Let's look at Hebrews 10, 19 through 22. It says this, paints us this picture. "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Through Jesus, we not only find salvation in a moment, we find a place where every day we can go to him and ask him to realign us when we drift. It says in scripture that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I just believe that even tonight, there's some of you who are coming in here and you're weary because your flesh feels weak. But tonight, you can have a holy realignment under the name of Jesus Christ. A holy realignment. After being aligned to his purposes, we can proclaim his promises, and then we can lay before him our prayers. We align to his purposes, we claim his promises, and then we lay before him our prayers. That's why we're starting off February talking about consecrating ourselves. We can get in alignment with him so we can experience his power. Learning about consecration but not practicing it really doesn't help us this month, though. That would just be head knowledge. But where's the heart knowledge there? It's about the heart of the matter. I'm pretty sure that's what our senior pastor told us this past Sunday. So instead of just hearing about it in a second, I would love for us to practice it together for you, to get to practice this idea of consecration. And you may be thinking, okay, what in the world does that look like? Tonight, I'm going to lead you just through three kind of steps. I'm going to tell you about them first, and then I would love just to lead us to take them. But the three steps of consecration, we're going to kind of walk through it like this. The first one is to renounce. To renounce. This idea of renouncing is rejecting. Rejecting where we've been out of line with God's design and plan. To know where you've drifted, though, you kind of have to have the x-ray. Like, what does it look like to be straight, right? And so I think a great picture of this, a great idea of this, is the Jesus-centered life. So when you're thinking, where have I drifted? Where do I need to renounce the way I've lived? I want you to think about the idea of the Jesus-centered life. Have you drifted in rejoicing from your salvation? Maybe you've turned from rejoicing in your salvation, you've been putting a lot of effort into your works and earning your way back to God. Maybe you have drifted in your identity. Instead of allowing God to inform how you enter into the world, you've let the world inform who you are on the inside. You've drifted there. Maybe you've drifted in your life. Instead of God being on the throne of your life and making every shot and every call, you have put yourself on the throne of your life. You make the calls in your marriage. You make the calls at work. You make the calls in the car. You make every call because you're in charge. And it feels good, but tonight you're realizing you're out of alignment. Maybe you've drifted in your authority, your spiritual authority. Instead of standing in the power of the Holy Spirit and being a child of light and pushing back darkness, you've let the darkness inform and shape you. And there's no shame in being there. But can we just admit we've drifted? Can you admit you've drifted? If you can, that's where we start tonight in consecration, just renouncing those places. God, I've drifted here and I'm done. I'm turning away from it. I'm rejecting it. The second step is realigning. This is where we dedicate ourselves, the places in our life, the spaces in our life, our relationship, back to God. So it's this idea when you're saying, yes, I have confessed, like I have drifted in some places. That's where you're saying, okay, there's been some miswiring in my life. This idea of realigning is kind of unplugging all the wires that have been plugged in wrong. And now you're asking God to help you rewire and get it correct. So you're saying, God, that area of my life that I've drifted, I dedicate it back to you. And God, it's under your realm, under your authority. And God, that is yours. It is not mine. So here's an example for you with that. Even my mind, this past week, I've had to consecrate it a few times. God, I just confess that I have drifted. I've let the world shape my mind. I've let fear shape my mind. And God, I just confess that. Now, God, would you realign me to you? Would you remind me that my mind is in you, God, that I have the helmet of salvation, that I am realigned to your Holy Spirit today? Would you do that, God? Would you help me? Realign. The last step is just to reclaim. You may remember earlier I've referenced with the chiropractor that at some point strength training would have been beneficial, but it wouldn't have been beneficial until I realigned. The reclaim portion is where we start doing some strength training, all right? We realign and say, God, I'm under you. This area of my life is under you. My marriage is under you. My house is under you. My friendships are under you. Everything is under you. Now I can stand and reclaim the spiritual authority that I have been robbed of because I have been listening to another voice besides you. God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would you help me stand in the fact that I am a child of God? God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would you give peace to my mind? God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will you help me love that person in my life? Would you do it? And I know you can because your Holy Spirit is within me. I don't have to make a wish. I can stand in the promise of it because Scripture says that when I abide in you, I can bear fruit. I believe it. We reclaim the spiritual authority that we have. That's what it looks like to consecrate ourselves. As I have sat in this over the past couple weeks, I was telling a couple friends this earlier, I have found myself consecrating just about everything. I've realized I've never really claimed out loud that my office is God's. It's true, I just have never claimed it. I've never asked for his power to flow to it or through it. I believe it, I've just never prayed it. Austin, my husband and I were even talking about just our marriage and how many times are we consecrating just our marriage back to God and saying, God, this is your marriage. This is not our marriage. Would your power flow to it? Because, God, it is yours. I jump to praying for things before I've ever dedicated it to him. I've sought his hand, not his face. But what I've realized as I've began to take these steps of consecrating myself, consecrating things I'm praying for, I've realized that sometimes I pray things for me, not necessarily out of what the Holy Spirit is prompting me to pray. I've been growing in listening. Maybe you have too, but there's something about doing this that has stretched me to say, God, if it's yours, then how do I pray? If it's yours, then what can I have the faith to believe? So tonight, as we kind of begin this process, I want to lead you through consecrating yourself. I want to lead you through consecrating this month. It's what an incredible opportunity is to consecrate something at the very beginning of it on day one, February 1st. We get to consecrate this month. So we're going to do that. And we're going to consecrate it like God's people. We're going to consecrate it because we are going to be in expectation that His power, His presence is going to come this month. So we need to prepare ourselves. We don't prepare ourselves when it's promised to come. We prepare ourselves before the promise has even come to fruition. That's when we prepare ourselves because we believe that our God comes through, period. And I don't know how He's going to come through. I don't know how He's going to come through when you're one thing. I have no idea. I just know that you have a loving Father that's going to come through, so it's time to prepare. All right? So I want to invite you even right now just to get into a posture of prayer. And this may look different for all of us, and even for you online where you are in your home with your small group. For some of you, this is just bowing your head, closing your eyes. For others of you, you may just put your hands out in front of you as a place of just spiritual surrender. And I do. I want to give freedom across our campus. I want to give freedom in this room that maybe for you that does look like being on your knees at some point tonight. Maybe it's not even right now, but it's later tonight. What is your posture of prayer? Would you get in it? God, we believe you're here. Would you proclaim that? It's true in your spirit right now. Would you just acknowledge His presence? You're not consecrating yourself tonight as an act. You're consecrating yourself to a person, and His name is Jesus. Would you first, just as you consecrate yourself tonight, and I want to lead you through this, but I do want to encourage you as you pray, this is a step you have to take. So as I lead you, I guess the first question that before you start praying is, are you ready? Are you ready to consecrate yourself? And if you are, the first step I would ask you just to begin to pray is, what do you need to confess? What do you need to renounce in your life? Where have you drifted? Would you just confess it to your Father right now? There's no shame. There's only love. Give the last 10% to Him. Every area of your life, would you confess it? God, I just confess that there's places where I haven't submitted to your design, I've just made my own design. God, I confess there's places that out of fear, I've tried to protect myself and anger has come out. I've turned from you. I confess that. Maybe you need to confess that you believe prayer works for everyone else besides you. God, we renounce that. We reject that. Would you now realign yourself to Jesus, to God? Would you realign yourself to Him right now? Would you claim that every area of your life, specifically the ones you've rejected, are under His rule and reign? God, my thoughts are under your rule and reign now. My time is under your rule and your reign now. My family, my friendships. My money. God, would you have it? Would you have every area of my life? Would you have every nook and cranny? And God, if there is an area I'm gripping onto, I pray you would show me, because I want you in that one too. Realign me, God, to your design. Would you reclaim your spiritual authority tonight? Would you reclaim the promises of God? You're under his rule and under his reign. That means every promise he's made through scripture is now yours to claim. God, I pray that even right now across this room and across our campuses, you begin just dropping scripture into people's mind, giving them something to claim tonight. I'm an heir of you. I'm a new creation. I'm forgiven. You have made me whiter than snow, God. Through you, I'm a person of love, of hope, of peace. God, would you make us a people that abide right here? God, I know that I'm prone to wander. I know we're prone to wander, but God, tonight, can we experience the joy being realigned to you? And in the days to come, God, would you give us the strength to continue to turn to you and ask you through the grace of Jesus to do it again and again? Before we present one request to you, God, I believe you hear them all. You're a Father that loves. Before I present one request, would I make my life fully yours? Would you consecrate just this month? You've come here tonight. You're kicking off February 1st. You're asking for breakthrough in your life. Would you renounce, even right now, maybe just some expectations you're bringing to the month that come from your flesh, not from the Spirit? You may need to renounce your fears right now. You've never prayed like this before, and it's scary. Confess it to God. Would you realign yourself this month to God? God, this is your month. We believe it. God, the month of February 2022 was yours, is yours. So God, this month, would you do what you have planned? And God, would you show us how to step into that? And now I want you to reclaim it. I want you to proclaim this month that you can stand in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as John 15:7 says, when you abide in him, you can ask now what you wish. So that's where I want us to continue tonight. In a second, I'm going to stop talking, and I want you to continue praying exactly where you are in this exact posture. For the one thing that you're going to be praying for this month, you have consecrated yourself. You have consecrated this month. Come in confidence before the throne of God and ask him to move. We're We're going to give you about 5 minutes or so just to pray for this. And after you pray, one of your pastors at your campus will continue to lead you.